Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. Glad to see your smiling faces and those who are watching at home on our vast broadcast network. If you want to go to the church website, you can find there a bulletin and follow along with the worship service, and I hope you'll do that. There are in the bulletin announcements that I call your attention to: the availability of devotional books for Advent, the workshop this afternoon, 2 to 4, and I'll emphasize that later on. Make a reservation for lunch next Sunday, and participate in Sunday school. Let me say of Ken McKenzie, I don't know what you people did last week, but, but the fact that he needed a Sunday off. Ken is ill, I think perhaps with COVID, which his wife Vicky has had. And I am kind of a representative of COVID. We think we're rid of it, and it keeps coming back. Anyway, it is good to be together. Are there announcements that we need to share with one another? If not, then let us pass the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Greet your neighbors warmly.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candles. We light the faith candle as an expression of our confidence in the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And let us pray. God of our lives and shaper of our dreams, we come before you as those who labor in your fields. In this hour, grant that our work of worship and fellowship may be glory to your name and strength to our mission. Give us the wisdom we need to bring forth fruitful lives, joyful in service this Advent season. Help us to hear the voice of the prophet who calls us to repentance and renewal, that we may clearly follow your path. Amen.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. A praying first in silence. And together we pray. Eternal God, we confess that we are not a welcoming people. We do not welcome change or challenge. We do not run out to greet the stranger or the foreigner in our midst. We ignore the hungry and the homeless at our own peril, fearful that we, by design or misfortune, might be forced to become one of them. Forgive us for our isolation and complacency. In this season, when we prepare to hear the angels sing, grant that we may also attend to the neighbor's cries. We ask this in the name of the manger babe who came to love us all. Amen.
Oh.
Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. And will the children come and join me at the new addition, the rocking chair. Excellent, excellent. Good to see you all. All right, you can recognize what these are, and you'll have things like these at home. Is Haynes going to come today? Is he here? Okay. So, what's this?
A deer.
Yeah, what kind of deer do you think?
It's an ornament.
Yeah, it's an ornament deer, but in this season of the year, what do you think of? Who pulls the sleigh?
Reindeer.
Reindeer, there we go. Here's another picture. You won't recognize these people, but those are my grandchildren. When they were real little, somebody made an ornament. So every year, in addition to the reindeer, we put that picture and lots of other things that remind us of family. Ah, you'll know what this one is all about. Who's that?
An angel.
Right. Why would we hang her on our Christmas tree?
Because Christmas is Jesus.
Yeah. Exactly so. Christmas is Jesus' birth, and the angel came to announce that. So we always have angels when we talk about the story. Ah, here's a beautiful one that came off the lovely tree out in the lobby of the building. Can you tell what that is? It's a sheep. It's a lamb lying down, and it's very fancy, isn't it? But in the Bible, they talk about Jesus being the Lamb of God and about Jesus being the shepherd and us being like his sheep. He takes care of us. How about this one?
A cross.
Well, kind of a cross, but yeah, a star.
A star looks like a cross.
Yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it? That's one that was made a long time ago when my children were small. So it's really pretty old. Why do you think I have all these?
To decorate
the Christmas tree. Some of them are symbols of just Christmas as a holiday. But I hope on every tree you'll have things that represent the story of Jesus' birth, like the lamb, the angel, and things that represent you. And this afternoon, 2 to 4, we're going to have an event here where, among other things, we make some things that could hang on your tree and things that remind us of the Christmas story. Could really be fun. So don't let your parents nap too early, okay? tell them that at 2 o'clock we need to go to the church, and then they can rest from their labors, okay? It'll be fun this afternoon, and I hope I'll see you there. Let's have our prayer together, okay? We fold our hands, and
dear Lord,
we thank you for the symbols of Christmas.
We thank you for the symbols of Christmas.
Of family and of faith.
Of family and of faith.
As we decorate this year.
As we decorate this
year. Help us to remember many fun things.
Help us to remember many fun things.
With Jesus at the center.
With Jesus at the center.
Amen.
Good. Thank you all.
Is the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but our own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Listen for God's word. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. We will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Our second scripture reading comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15. Listen for God's word. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and the encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ, so that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised unto the ancestors, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading from Isaiah talks about the wolf living with the lamb and the leopard with the kid, harmony on earth, and I think Adam and Amanda came pretty close. We read now from Matthew's Gospel, the story of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to raise from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Ken had planned his sermon, God is Able. I suspect in a future Sunday you will hear that. The title of this one, the rough title, begun yesterday when I got the message that he was sick, is The Timely Jump Start. I suppose that I had let my car sit for too long without driving it. I don't really remember why that was, whether we had gone on a trip or we were mostly using Gene's car. Anyway, when I went to start that day, the car wouldn't start, and so I pulled the card out of my wallet that had the phone number that I was supposed to call when I needed help. "About 30 minutes would be my guess," came the voice of the woman from the dispatcher desk. "Let me see where he's at." And in about half an hour, sure enough, this large tow truck pulled into the driveway. Now, the man who got out looked to me kind of like a modern-day John the Baptist. Full beard, fabric coat well-worn, patches. There was a hint of a tobacco pouch protruding from one coat pocket, and his boots, judging by their wear, had seen many a forest trail and muddy riverbank. He was an outdoorsman, for sure. From the metal box welded to his truck, he pulled out the jumper cables he would need, and he attached them quickly and efficiently. "Let's get her started," he said. "Pretty much all business." And so I turned the key, and vroom, she kicked off right away. "Let her run for a while," he said. "And then don't let her sit up so long next time." He was several inches taller than me and much heavier, and he commanded my complete attention. I may have even said, "Yes, sir." Anyway, when he was satisfied that the battery was sufficiently charged, we signed the necessary paperwork, and he was off, and soon thereafter, so was I. So now, as to the John the Baptist we have read about, I think from this passage in Matthew, you can guess he was also pretty much all about business, a no-nonsense kind of guy, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Matthew himself is doing the paperwork on this visit. And Matthew paints a vivid picture of John in the wilderness among all those wild elements and the crowds, the huge crowds coming out to see him, to confess their sins and to be baptized. John, kind of a tow truck driver of his time, had been sent to jumpstart God's people who had been idle for too long. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And it is not just repentance that will satisfy John. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees, members of the religious establishment, come out for his baptism, he rails at them, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Here are clear echoes of our recent stewardship campaign. You shall know them by their fruits. To repent is the first and vital step. To live the Christian life thereafter is the true test of our sincerity, of our follow-through, of our lifelong commitment. And with the mention of Abraham, John is saying, in essence, that it doesn't really matter how many years your grandfather taught Sunday school or your granny sang in the choir. God's expectation is for every generation, you and me, for us, to be about God's work in our time. I was baptized at the Jordan. I had not intended to be, and the tour brochure suggested that we would stop in the place, the traditional site where Jesus was baptized. I said to myself, my theology suggests that one baptism is sufficient. I will go with the group, of course, but I really don't feel the need to be baptized again. By the time we reached the spot, well into our 2-week pilgrimage, I had gotten to know Bob and Ruth. I had been in ministry for a decade. Bob was already retired. I was, by that time, still relatively fit. Bob had lost both feet to a disease, and so he walked the rocky terrain with difficulty and with the aid of 2 crutches. I suppose that I knew his story better than most because I had walked with him, the kind of just in case something should happen. And we had talked a lot and dined together. He had, I judged, over the course of his ministry, paid his dues, pastored modest congregations, served in the truest sense of that word. He was one of those people who devotes his life to the kingdom without the rewards that come to some, myself included. When we arrived at the Jordan, people lined up to be sprinkled with that biblical water. But I was sticking to that Pharisaical belief that one baptism was a limit. I was certain that my seminary professor who taught me that, and John Calvin himself for that matter, would frown if I agreed to a second sacrament. But here was Bob, older, crippled, unappreciated, gathering his crutches with excitement and hobbling off the bus and toward the river with the determination of one whose life dream is about to be realized. There was none of the tow truck driver in Bob, but he too was John the Baptist for me in that moment. He taking the lead to jumpstart my feelings again. His example calling me to humble myself and to repent and to come and to be washed along with everyone else in that spot where perhaps eons ago Jesus had waded into the same water. Repent, the prophet cried. And now there was a lump in my throat. I followed Bob to the water. The whole experience was, perhaps for Bob, but certainly for me, a jump start. I was at that point where I needed to consider what I would do next. I could stay where I was comfortable, but if I did, both the church and I would lose our edge. It was time to make a move. Jump starts. Those moments when God, through some human intervention, gets our attention, the way to call us back to ourselves. And John the Baptist does not sugarcoat his message. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. Oh, mercy. And then, as if to introduce somebody who is standing just behind us, he says, "One is coming after me who is more powerful than I, and I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." Jesus, as the story goes, is in fact waiting in the wings. We are not told any details in Scripture about how Jesus spent the last 17 years other than at carpentry. We last saw him at the temple as a precocious child. Somehow, somewhere, God has been preparing Jesus for this moment, and for him, it seems John the Baptist is the jump start he needs to reveal himself and to begin his journey and bear the fruit that only he is capable of bearing. Jump starters. I bet that you have had several. A teacher or a coach, an aunt or an uncle perhaps, or a counselor. Someone who said something just at the right time and you knew that message was not only from that person but from God. You could write your own list. I'll bet you're on somebody else's list too, because I know the kind of people that you are. So, no pressure on you, Ken McKenzie, if you happen to be watching, but an interim pastor is to be something like John the Baptist for us, something of a tow truck driver who comes to get us fired up again and cautions us about being idle too long, because the needs of the kingdom are too great, the needs of people around us in here, and the needs of the world out there. Get well soon, Ken. And while you're home, rummage through the closet for whatever you have to wear in the way of camel hair and a good leather belt. We need to hear that prophetic voice again, the voice of crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Have us ready to meet our Redeemer, ready when he comes to gather up the wheat. Have us ready for his advent. Amen. While standing, let us affirm together what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As the ushers come forward, let us be preparing our hearts for communion. Now we come to the table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is the table of Jesus Christ, set forth with his body and his blood, a reminder, a testimony of his love for us. The invitation is his to those who know him a little and want to know him more, who want strength for the journey. Let us join together in the great prayer. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of all things. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. You set us in the world to love and to serve you, and to live in peace with all that you have made. When we turned from you, you did not turn from us. When we were captive in slavery, you delivered us to freedom and made covenant to be our God. You spoke to us through prophets who looked for that day when justice and peace shall rule over all the earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with heavenly hosts who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him into this world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering. We rejoice that in his death and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ our Lord. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor be yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. We recall the now familiar story of how Jesus, on the night of his arrest, sat at table with the disciples, and during the course of the meal, he took the bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And how also in the course of the meal, he took the cup and pouring said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for many for the remission of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." He has prepared the meal, and we are ready to enjoy it. Christ, Rachel. The body of Christ, Robert. The body of Christ, Catherine. The body of Christ, Jean. John, the body of Christ. Charles, Christ's body broken for us. Jenny, the body of Christ. Stand, my friend, the body of Christ. Jody, the body of Christ. body of Christ, Tommy. The body of Christ, Lucy. Katie, the body of Christ. Luke, the body of Christ. Tate, the body of Christ. Will, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, Carol. Wayne, the body of Christ. Eric, the body of Christ. Sienna, the body of Christ. Lena, the body of Christ. Boritska, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, Adam. The body of Christ, Amanda. Laura, the body of Christ. Debbie, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, Beverly. Friend Dan, the body of Christ. Steve, the body of Christ. Alex, the body of Christ. Did Ann Sims come forward?
Okay.
She did.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the sacrifice which Jesus made on our behalf, for the meal which nourishes us now in our walk through life, and for the promise of a table yet to come where we shall gather with our loved ones and with the Lord to celebrate love in its full manifestation. We pray for those among us who are sick or grieving, those who have lost life partners, or who, like little Cecilia and her family, struggle with life itself. We pray for those who are lonely, who are oppressed, borne down by poverty or circumstance, people in far-off places who endure what we cannot imagine, those nearby with much in terms of material wealth who struggle with emptiness in life. For all these we pray, and for the jump start that sends us to do our part. Bless us, O Lord. We ask in Christ's name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. to guide your prayer this week. Come this afternoon at 2 o'clock to celebrate Christmas with crafts. And as you go into the world, be mindful of the season, the needs around you, and the meaning of it all, the coming of the child, the promise of his coming again. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and always. Amen.